Welcome to the First Registers of Scotland podcast. I'm Lucy Swan. Have you ever bought or sold a house, inquired about your property's boundaries, or searched for historical house prices on Scotless? Then you would have come into contact with Registers of Scotland. We compile and maintain 20 public registers, such as Scotland's Land Register and the Landlord Register, and we are experts in land and property information. Did you know there's only a small number of people in Scotland who can call themselves keeper? One is the Keeper of the National Records of Scotland, who manages the registration of births, deaths and marriages, and another is Jennifer Henderson, the Keeper of the Registers of Scotland, who joins me today. In Scotland, the Land Register was established over 400 years ago, making it the oldest national land register in the world. However, Jennifer is a relative newcomer to Ross, taking up the post of Keeper in April 2018. Jennifer follows Sheena Adams to become the second woman to hold the post in 400 years. We're delighted to welcome Jennifer to our very first podcast to explore in more detail the role of the keeper and how her previous experiences have shaped her approach to her new role. Welcome, Jennifer. Thanks for joining us on our first podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, you have a varied background, and I understand that you studied nuclear physics, and you also worked in the Ministry of Defence for a number of years. To me, that doesn't sound as if it links to land and property information. So what attracted you to the role of keeper?
Well, that's an easy question to answer. I was very excited when I saw the keeper job advert, and I think there were several things. First of all, let's reference the nuclear physics piece. So I think as a scientist, I've always had an incredible interest in technology and how technology can be applied. And Ros is going through an amazing programme of bringing in technology to support the work we do. So that was an exciting thing to think I'd be able to get involved in that. And one of my early jobs with the Ministry of Defence, I did a bit of work with artificial intelligence, and I can see there are going to be some definite applications of that in some of what we might want to do as we move forward as an organisation. The other things that really attracted me about the job were, I feel very strongly that operational delivery, making sure that people get a really good service out of public services, is incredibly important. And quite a bit of my work with the MOD was about making sure that that happened. So I felt that was a skill I could bring to the job. But also, Ros is transforming, and the job I was doing, not immediately before I came to Ros, but slightly prior to that, was as transformation director. So I felt I would bring experience of understanding how you transform an organisation, but without dropping the ball on doing the day-to-day delivery. And I'd never seen a job before that brought all those skills together. So it was a great opportunity to feel I could really bring everything I've done in the sort of whole of my career together into a new role.
Great. So you spoke a bit there about how your background in studying science linked to the business transformation that Registers of Scotland are going through. Were there any other parallels between your past experiences and Registers of Scotland?
I think the customer service piece speaks very strongly to me. You know, Ros obviously has a huge number of customers. We've got people out there in Scotland who are buying and selling property and wanting to register other kind of deeds with us. And they want to get an efficient service that does what it's supposed to do in a timely and accurate way. And I know that a tremendous amount of skill goes into delivering a service like that. And coming from a background with the MOD, where I'm obviously a very different customer delivering to the forces, but they need what they need when they need it done properly. And I felt that that is something, again, I really understand the importance of knowing what your customer needs and wants, and then figuring out how you make sure that your business is set up to actually deliver that. So again, I think that's a real parallel with Ros. I mean, very, very different customers, but customer service is customer service, and doing it well, I think, draws on a lot of the same skills.
Yeah, definitely. So to touch back on what we said earlier about you being the second ever female keeper at Registers of Scotland, how important do you think that equal opportunities are for everybody in and out of the public sector?
Oh, I think equality of opportunity is something I feel very strongly about. I think having spent a lot of my career in the MOD, Which, whilst it's getting enormously better and there's a much greater representation of females at senior levels, certainly when I started, there were very, very few role models I could look at and think, if I want to become senior in the civil service or senior in an organisation, where are the women who I can look up to and think, that's the kind of job I want to do? I've always felt it's really important to have... be able to demonstrate to people that they can go as far as they want to go in an organisation, and nothing, their gender, their ethnic origins, their sexual orientation, nothing is going to stand in their way, and they're going to be able to progress to whatever level they want to. And I think, I feel, I could talk about this all day, I feel very strongly that, you know, organisations need to encourage people to aspire to roles in senior positions and think about, that's about role models and people thinking, I could do that job. You need to give people belief that says, I believe I could do that job. So instill people's confidence in their capabilities and the fact that nothing about them stops them performing really well. And then I think you need to create the climate that says, actually, when we do get people being the first into a job from gender or whatever kind of background, that they're going to be able to really succeed, so that then you get a virtuous circle and people can progress after them. So I think it's something I'm incredibly passionate about. I think diversity in any organisation makes an organisation stronger. You know, you bring people from different backgrounds with different experiences together, they're going to have different ideas, they're going to see different ways of solving problems, they're going to understand the customer we serve. I think as a customer facing organisation, we need people working in ROS who represent the breadth of customers we serve. And if you don't have a diverse organisation, you're not going to have that. And I think you create a diverse organisation by showing right from the top of the organisation down that diversity is something the organisation celebrates and welcomes.
Going back to your role, what's been the most interesting part so far for you?
Oh, I don't think I could pick a single interesting part. I mean, I have been fascinated from day one getting out and about in the organisation and learning how everybody within the ROS family does their job, how all the bits of the system that make up what we deliver come together to give people that title sheet for their property that really ensures that they know what they own, or helps people who have crofts know what's going on with their croft, or helps people select an appropriate landlord. I mean, the whole, everything we do is just interesting. And I think, I guess the most, if I had to sort of pick a thing that just fascinates me in terms of something that looks very simple and then you unpack what goes on behind the scenes. So I've had a house for a number of years, and you have your property deeds and you have this plan and it has this red edge on it, and you think, oh, that's fine, that's what I own. And then you understand, you come into ROS and you understand what actually goes into creating that accurate red edge, and then all that paperwork that sits behind that plan that says, what are you and are you not allowed to do on your property? You know, you're not allowed to keep chickens or whatever it is. Understanding how all that gets brought together in ROS, and particularly the work we're doing at the moment to take titles out of the General Register of Saisines and put them into the Land Register, and interpreting all these really historic documents that don't come with any plans, and actually get to the point where we can take someone's property through a first registration and give them back a title certificate that has a plan, that has real clarity about what they can do on and with their property. It's just absolutely amazing process to me.
Yeah, so have there been any surprises for you since you've joined?
I think I've been surprised by the diversity of what ROS does. I mean, I think when I did my research as part of applying for the job, I sort of got the Land Register bit, and that's kind of, you know, obviously ROS having its 400 years anniversary last year, there was a lot of publicity around the sort of celebration of 400 years of having a kind of oldest national Land Register running and things like that. So the Land Register thing, I think, was very well publicised. But coming in and understanding we have all these other registers, and I'm 6 months in now, and I still haven't completely got to the bottom of everything we do. Each week, someone comes to talk to me about something that they do as part of the organisation, and I'm like, I didn't actually know we did that. So I'm wondering at what point I will get to the bottom of everything, and I feel I've uncovered the breadth of what the organisation does. And then I think the other thing that really excites me is people's imagination about what we could do as an organisation. People have got so many good ideas about what we could do, how we could use the data we have for the benefit of Scotland, you know, what other products and services people out there could benefit from, how we can improve what we offer to the public, how we can help the citizen have more information about their property. And I think it's just incredibly exciting. It's a fantastic time to have joined the organisation that has all this sort of pent-up energy ready to go and do more.
So thanks for sharing your insights into your role. Our interview is coming to an end, but if we can just have one final question and then we'll do a few quick-fire questions. I've heard that you're a keen traveller and that your goal is to visit every island in Scotland. So what's been your favourite destination so far?
No, don't want to offend anyone in Scotland, and I would caveat the answer by saying I am, as yet, haven't had much opportunity since I moved up here to travel in Scotland. I've been busy getting moved up, getting a house up here bought, so I'll have to answer based on previous holidays and previous travels in Scotland. But I think my favourite destination that I've ever been to in Scotland is the island of Unst, which is part of the Shetland Islands. And I would single out the very sort of northernmost part of Unst, where there's an absolutely fantastic seabird reserve. And I have a memory of a fabulous holiday where the weather was completely gorgeous, sitting on top of a cliff, watching the puffins and thinking, it doesn't get any better than this. But I know that if you ask me this question in a few months' time, when I've had more opportunity to visit more of the islands of Scotland, I would be picking a different island that had given me a different experience. And I could list off the things I'd really like to do. And yeah, I'd hope to be able to come back and talk to you about them sometime.
Thanks for that answer, Jennifer. It sounds amazing. We'll move into the quickfire round now. So, tea or coffee?
Tea.
Dog or cat?
Cat.
Sweet or savoury?
Savoury.
Toast or cereal?
Cereal.
Book or TV?
Book.
Beach or skiing?
Oh, neither. I'd rather go for a walk in the hills.
Morning person or night owl?
Morning person.
Music or podcasts?
Podcasts.
Football or rugby?
Rugby.
Train or plane?
Train.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer, for joining us for the debut of our podcast series.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back soon with our next instalment. Make sure to rate us or leave a comment if you've enjoyed our podcast today. And remember to check in with our social media channels for regular updates. Thanks for listening.